The fact to be explained is presented in that form. That is, it's presented as this K is an L. In other words, explanation here is an activity in which how we describe the phenomenon matters. We're not simply looking out at the world and saying, explain that, and saying, well, it's explained by this. We're giving descriptions of the phenomena, and in terms of those descriptions, coming to understand why it is that they are the way they are. It's furthermore clear, and this is what Aristotle urges in the first part of this posterior analytics, it's furthermore clear that it's not just any old generalization that will provide understanding for us. Aristotle says that in terms of which we explain something, and therefore that which enables us to understand a phenomenon, has to be what is responsible for the phenomenon taking place. That's what he means by saying that we explain by reference to the cause of a certain event. And the kind of generalization that he wants is one that captures what the phenomenon is in such a way that that nature, that feature of the phenomenon, explains what it is we're trying to understand. In other words, what we're looking for is what explains the features of the universe in question. And that is, according to Aristotle, how it is that we get understanding. That's why Aristotle really, in the posterior analytics, pictures scientific understanding as simply the explanatory art. The person who understands scientifically is someone who is able to explain what he understands, and conversely, scientific understanding is occasioned and brought about by the phenomenon of explanation. In other words, the person who has understanding is a person who knows how to explain in this broad sense of giving a piece of reasoning that will show why something is the case. And scientific understanding is both brought about by that kind of explanation and is the power, the faculty, as it were, the art of that kind of explanation. We might think that on Aristotle's view, science is the art of discursive disclosure. That is, it's the art of showing how things are and what they are by means of the kind of discourse that takes place in reasoning. Now, if we expect to understand some phenomenon on the basis of something that explains it, we're going to need to understand as well the explanation. And so Aristotle is led to say that we will eventually need to understand the first principles on the basis of which we are enabled to explain and thus gain scientific understanding of specific conditions and events in the world. This understanding, Aristotle claims here and elsewhere as well, can't be affected by the same kind of explanation that we have of the phenomena that we begin with, because otherwise we would have an infinite regress. If in order to explain this event, I had to have another event which I also understood, and then if in order to understand that, I had to have another explanation, and then another explanation, and another explanation, the chain would never end, or we would have to, Aristotle says, go in a vicious circle, imagining that we understood the phenomenon that we meant to understand is also what explains the very principles in terms of which we understand it. Aristotle says, however, that the grasp of first principles that's necessary for understanding phenomena of the world is made possible by our possession of what he calls nous, mind or intellect, something that we're going to encounter later in our discussions. Mind is not, for Aristotle, simply some magical insight into these first principles. It's the faculty by which we are able to come to understand these principles. The understanding we have of these principles as principles, that is, our grasp of them as that by which we might affect understanding, concerns, after all, just that feature of them, their ability to bring about understanding. So that understanding principles as principles is coming to see them in their capacity to bring about the explanation and coherence of the phenomena that we explain. It's, in other words,